last second win on Sunday sends the Jaguars home with a smile. Confidence in the huddle was key. The Jags knew they had to make a play.
Right when we walked down the field, I told the guys, touchdown right here. Plain and simple.
A moment to remember for a new era and a chance to celebrate for the first time in 2012.
Normally I'm not speechless, but I'm sorry I'm speechless.
Tonight, we look at the Jags' big win in Indy and ahead to a special Sunday at Everbank. This is Jaguars All Access, brought to you by Everbank, Jacksonville's home for banking, lending, and investing. Buy and sell Jaguars tickets at NFL.com/ticket exchange. Don't wait. Buyers get in and sellers get paid.
I want to present, Tony, first ball to our new owner, Shad Khan. First win. I don't know where he's at.
Jaguars owner Shad Khan gets the game ball after Sunday's big win in Indy. We'll hear what Mr. Khan had to say to his team coming up a little later in the show. Welcome to a Victory Monday edition of Jaguars All Access. I'm Steve Wrigley, joined as always by Jeff Lagerman. And it looks like the Jags have the Colts number, Jeff. They worked a little extra time, but no overtime.
A little stressful there at the end. You know, you have it, and then you don't. And then all of a sudden, you get it, but a huge play at the end of the ball game with two key players. And we've got one of them tonight.
That's great. Tonight, Wells Fargo welcomes our special guest, Cecil Shorts III, the guy with the plan, the man that can make the catch, Mr. Late Game Drama. Welcome.
Appreciate you. Thanks for having me.
Feels good, doesn't it, to finally have a win to validate all the hard work. I mean, off-season, training camps, everything that you guys do, that's how you validate it.
Definitely. It's our first win, and now I think our job is to get ready for Cincinnati and kind of keep it going.
So did you know your number was going to be called on that last play of the game?
Well, last play for
the offense.
You always got to be ready. At receiver position, your job is to catch the ball, to make plays. So in my mind, I knew I had to be ready for the ball if it came, and it came.
You're a great guy to have in here tonight because you not only made the big play in Indianapolis, you have a pretty good one we're going to look at from Minnesota as well. That was a good one. So it's great to have you here tonight.
Thanks for having me.
Well, let's take a look now at the Gatorade plot, prime plays of the game, and obviously our guest will be where? Number one.
Play number three, Paul Posluszny's interception.
A big play because, you know, you came out and you scored on the first offensive touch and then you respond on defense, get an interception here by Paul and you take it down and kick a field goal and you close the gap on the score. You know, so, I mean, that's a big play in the game when you get takeaways. I just wish they had three more on the defensive side of the ball.
We'll get to that a little later. Play number two is Maurice Jones-Drew going 59 yards for a touchdown.
Well, and this is the first touch by the offense in the second half. And obviously, Cecil, Mike talked at halftime, hey, let's get a stop and let's get the ball put on in the end zone or get some points out of it offensively.
Definitely. I think what you don't see is Justin Black makes a great block at the top of the screen on the safety right there.
Oh, we're going to see it because this play is this play, Power 32. We're going to take a look at this play on the smart board.
Yes, sir.
And arguably the biggest no-brainer since his catch in Minnesota, Blaine Gabbert to Cecil Shorts III.
Well, down by one at the time. Score was 16-17, and you need a point, you need anything, and this is called a pot play.
Both pot.
Yeah, I don't want people to get confused by what that means, explain to people what that play is and what it means to you.
Well, it's a mirror route. We're in our attack offense, which is a two-minute offense. And like I said, it's a mirror route, so both me and the X, I'm the Z, and the X receiver, we're in the same route. So we want to seam inside to about the top of the numbers, straighten up, getting past 10 yards, and then kind of drift. You want to slam your foot, but not to the post. Kind of drift in front of the safety, and Blaine threw a hell of a ball yesterday.
Well, and we're going to look at this play on the smart board because the safety really helped you on that. He thought that you were running, typically in cover two, you get a levels route where you have a guy in the shallow and then a guy that tries to get behind the corner at the shallow route. Mm-hmm. And he, which was Antoine Bethea, kind of moves out to the side and gives you that crease up the middle. And, you know, from watching it, you caught the back end of that ball.
That ball came fast.
That ball was coming real fast.
That ball came fast. I got my head around, and then I saw like a blur of the ball. And I just put my hands out, and thank God I caught it.
You grabbed the right half of it. That is for sure. And our Xfinity speed is Play of the day is Mojo's big day. 177 yards rushing and the touchdown for Maurice Jones-Drew. 28 carries. That's a workhorse.
A great effort by Maurice. He's now second in the National Football League in rushing. And really was a fantastic day. His second biggest day as a rusher for the Jaguars and Cecil. When you can have a guy like that that's only been here for 3 weeks to have that kind of a game, he's a special player.
Very special. Big reason, you know, our offense goes. And I think we'll build off that during the season, opening the passing game up. And with a running back like that, arguably the best in the league, I think our pass attack will definitely grow and get better.
And then we have your 39-yarder in Minnesota. That's the start of a big play resume. That's called a drift, too. Drift seems to be some terminology. Not to give it away if anybody's listening out there from Cincinnati, but talk about this one.
Well, this play was just both seam go, which means everybody is four verticals. You just run down the field. And I think Blaine put the ball where it needed to be. The defensive back kind of turned around the wrong way, and he put it away from the defensive back and made my job easy.
So. That should have been a game winner. Should have been, but it wasn't. And you obviously
We're in the NFL.
Right, right.
they do get paid too, so.
But you got the game winner yesterday. And obviously, you've played a lot of football, high school, college. So, how many game winning touches or catches have you had in your career?
Well, I only played receiver for 3 years in college. I was a quarterback.
You were a quarterback.
When I was younger or whatnot. But that was my first one. This is my first.
Which a lot of people would find amazing because you went to Mount Union, which is a D3 school.
Yes.
And Mount Union is a D3 powerhouse.
Yes, sir.
And the reason you didn't have any come from behind wins is because you guys were pounding everybody at Mount Union.
Yeah, I probably can count on both of my hands how many, in my 4 years playing there, how many full games I've played.
Well, how many did you throw? If you were the quarterback, how many game-winning touchdown passes did you throw in your day?
In college, I was a backup quarterback, so I didn't throw any.
Yeah, but you know, when you were in college, you know, you were a backup quarterback because that was early on. You were a quarterback freshman year, and then they were like, "Whoa, wait a minute, we see some wide receiver qualities." Mm-hmm. But throughout your college career, a lot of people say, "Well, how come Cecil Shorts didn't have the big year last year?" I mean, you come from Mount Union, D3 school, and you played wide receiver, punt returner, kick returner. You even actually played cornerback, nickelback
yes.
at Mount Union.
A little bit, just in big games, you could say.
Well, how big of an adjustment has it been for you?
It's probably the biggest adjustment I've made as an athlete, period. Coming from where guys are scared to line up against you or, you know, just scared to cover you, period. You come to the game, everybody knows about you. So just being a little small guy on a big stage, you know what I mean? And being there 4 years or 5 years, actually, I knew the playbook like the back of my hand. Nothing changed. I was comfortable there, and then coming here is just everything's just different. And it's a big adjustment because everybody's good.
And everybody's fast and everybody's big.
There were no scholarships at Mount Union.
No, sad to say.
Did you pay all your student loans off yet? Because I remember talking to you last year. You said, hey, look, I still got them. So I
almost. They got a little bit to go, but they're definitely getting paid off now. So
there were some missed opportunities out there Sunday, too. You know, you guys let a couple get away. They did get Andrew Luck with the one, Paul Posluszny, but a couple other drops. You know, a lot of people, this game could have been kind of lopsided.
Well, yeah, I think so. We definitely kept him in the game. We'll talk about it today in our meetings or whatnot, but we'll learn from our mistakes and keep moving.
All right. Well, you know, for appearing on tonight's show, you're going to receive a limited edition Bueller Swiss watch. Bueller Swiss watches are the official watch of the Jacksonville Jaguars, and they're available at fine jewelers throughout Northeast Florida. It is time now for a little trivia as we head to our first time out here on Jaguars All Access. Here's tonight's question. Cecil Shorts III played his college ball at Mount Union. You know that. But what current premier wide receiver also played at Mount Union? If you think you know the answer, email us at triviamail@jaguars.com and you could win a $100 gift certificate from Football Fanatics. There's still much more to come with Cecil Shorts III right here on Jaguars All Access.
Still ahead on Jaguars All Access. The Jaguars made some big plays on Sunday. Jeff Lockerman goes to the smart board to show you how they happened. Plus, the Jaguars' locker room was a fun place to be after the win in Indy. We're taking you inside next. But first, here are your Southern Ford dealers' sounds of the game.
Let's take it to the next level.
I get that first one. Say no more.
Woo! 1, 2, 3. Hey!
Sell out here in Indianapolis. Bruce Jones Drew. Jones Drew will score. Wow. 59.
Make plays. Make your play.
Jacksonville has a turnover.
Hey, he's still a rookie.
Plenty of time in the game, all right?
56 seconds left to go for Gavin. And that is caught. Cecil Shorts, are you kidding? Oh, my goodness. Shorts in the end zone. What a play. And that stuns everyone here in Indianapolis.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
2 seconds left. This is it.
This is Jaguars All Access. This is Jaguars All Access. Brought to you by Gate and by EverBank, Jacksonville's home for banking, lending, and investing.
Welcome back to Jaguars All Access. You're looking live at Latitude 30, where Greg Jones and Maurice Jones-Drew are hosting a big community event. We're going to have a live report from Brent Martineau coming up real soon. Welcome back to Jaguars All Access. It's time to go inside the film room with Jeff Lagerman and the Baptist Health Smart Board. Jeff, the Jags made two huge plays on Sunday. What did it take to get that done against those Indianapolis Colts?
Well, first and foremost, a little bit of teamwork on the first play, and that was Maurice's long run. It's called a Power 32. Maurice calls it God's play. Great play by the Jaguars offense there to start the second half, and we're going to look at this play in detail. Let's jump into the tape, because what happens on this play, the best defensive player for the Colts, Robert Mathis, is going to be blocked by the best blocking fullback in all of football, and Greg does a great job of end up keeping Robert Mathis out. That's the key to this play, okay? And then also a double team by tight end Mercedes Lewis and Guy Wimper. So let's just focus in on the first two stages of that. Greg Jones blocking out on Robert Mathis. He's digging him out. Okay, now you can see that. Remember I talked about the double team? Take a look at Mercedes Lewis and how he's pushing the hip of the defensive end, Corey Redding, to really open up this hole. See how it just opened it up? Now on the backside, you got the power part of it. Mike Brewster pulling around and grinding out the linebacker, number 53, who steps up right here. Okay, so there are different aspects. This is all about teamwork. Okay, Greg Jones kicking out Mathis, the double team of Corey Redding. Mike Brewster pulling around, picking up the linebacker. And then as Cecil had talked about, second level block by Justin Blackmon down the field on one of the better safeties in the league in Antoine Bethea. And take a look at the block, because he puts Antoine Bethea way back on his heels. All right, so from beginning to end, okay, there's so many different components of it. Here it is all together. Greg kicking out, double team down, Brewster around, second level block, Maurice Jones-Drew having the speed to get down the field. The second biggest play of the game, obviously the big throw to Cecil Shorts, and Cecil talked about how he saw the safety end up going a certain way. Okay, there's Cecil right there. Focus in on him, because the route that, he's on the outside. Mike Thomas on the inside runs the out. The safety has deep half of the field right here. Okay, when Mike runs to the out, the safety thinks that Cecil is going to run this type of route. Doesn't happen. Watch the safety. And that's Antoine Bethea. See how he creeps to the outside? Okay, well, that brings in now what is called the drift type of concept, to get in behind the nickelback and inside of this safety right here. Okay, looks easy, right? But take a look at the catch. Okay, the play was set up beautifully. And if you thought that the window was easy for Cecil to make this catch, let's take a look at it in the end zone. I mentioned about how he caught the back half of the ball. And the ball, Cecil said, came extremely fast. Look at this throw. Look at that throw. There's the nickel right in front. The ball is on top of Cecil immediately. Outstanding throw, outstanding catch, and even better speed after the catch, and obviously led to a big-time play for the Jaguars getting their first victory of the season. Big-time plays. All right, coming up, obviously, on Jaguars All Access, we have plenty more. But first, let's go inside the locker room, the victorious locker room, and see what head coach Mike Mularkey had to say to Jaguars owner Shad Khan.
When we say 60 minutes, it doesn't have to be 60 minutes, right? All right, but you know what? If it is, you've shown what you're capable of doing. Yep. All right, you came in here 14-3. You guys hung together. You stuck together, just like we talked about. Talked about it before the game, talked about it at halftime, and you stuck together. 60 minutes.
Normally, I'm not speechless, but I'm sorry I'm speechless. I think this is a time, obviously, I'll remember forever, and I'm so proud of you. And I've kept the sheet of everybody who's here, and it'll be with me forever. Yes, thank right. you.
Let's go. Fam on three. One, two, three. Fam!
This is Jaguars All Access.
Welcome back to Jaguars All Access. I'm Steve Wrigley. He's Jeff Lagerman. He's Sunday star Cecil Shorts III. But we want to take you out to Latitude 30. Brent Martineau is at a big event. And Brent, this is a big deal, but it really kind of helps when they have that win on Sunday, doesn't it?
Yeah, we're going to talk to the guys about that, too. The Jaguars always big in the community. We're here at Latitude 30 with Greg Jones and Maurice Jones-Drew. Be a kid again for the kids. And this is the first year of this. I should have rolled out the red carpet. I mean, what a star-studded event you have, Greg.
Yeah, you know, we got a bunch of former and current Jaguars here. And, a couple other people from the community just came out and supported me and Maurice and what we're trying to do here. So we're just going to be a kid again for the night and enjoy ourselves.
So being a kid again also means playing Madden, playing a little bowling. I know you guys love the video games. Who wins between you two and Madden?
I don't think Greg plays video games that much. This is a great event. Greg did a great job. I'm just tagging along. You know, this was his foundation. They set this up. We asked if we could tag along. He said, okay. And this is more than I've ever expected. So this is a great event. Greg did a great job. A lot of players are here to support us. And we just want people to have fun, come out and have fun. That's all it is.
It's a super event. I mean, the star-studded list. I mean, we got Fred Taylor, obviously, going in the Pride of the Jaguars this week. Christian Leitner's here. Sam Cowart, Justin Blackman, your teammates now. How about this football win? Doing an event like this, coming off a win, is much easier than going 0-3.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. If we'd have lost yesterday, man, you know, it would have been kind of gloomy. But I'm just glad we won. You know, glad to get the first W for the season. It was tough, as you can see, but we pulled it out and just wanted to keep it going.
You thinking about missing training camp next year because it apparently works okay. 177 yards yesterday. That's a big game. I mean, you guys needed it, man.
Right out of my mouth, man. I might not come now. Just playing. These guys did a great job. Greg Jones, our offensive line, the front guys, they did a great job blocking. I was just running through holes and, you know, when your receiver's downfield blocking, you know, it just makes it easier for me. So they did a great. It was a total team effort for us on Sunday.
You got to get on a roll now, though, guys, right? Get two in a row against Cincinnati.
Of course. You know, guys, Cincinnati, you know, that's the most important game right now in Cincinnati. So we're going to come in tomorrow, come in on Wednesday, and dial those guys in and just get focused.
Maurice Jones-Drew, Greg Jones. For the kids, that's what it's all about. A lot of different foundations and charities here in Jacksonville. Super Night, we'll have more later on and throughout the week on Jaguars.com as well. I'm Brent Martineau for Jaguars All Access. More coming up right after this.
This is Jaguars All Access.
Welcome back to Jaguars All Access. All last year we had guests as part of the Florida Dairy Council's Fuel Up to Play 60 program. Stay tuned for our special guests throughout the season. Well, Jaguars senior writer John Osier takes your questions, win or lose. The Jags win, but the questions are tough in this week's CBEST Ozone.
I'm John Osier here with tonight's Ozone question. Adam from Orange Park writes, John, I wrote in during the game that I was ready to pack it in and rejoin you when we won. Well, here I am and it feels good. Yeah, Adam, it does feel good. And believe it or not, you were far from alone on Sunday. All during Sunday's game, we got Ozone emails killing the defense, the offense, Blaine Gabbert, you name it. A lot of people saying same old team, and a few are ready to give up their season tickets. You want the highs and lows of being a fan? Check out my inbox. After a victory, it's giggles and roses, but after a loss, it's a brutal, mean, dark place, not for the faint of heart. The truth about the Jaguars, life is not giggles and roses right now. A lot does need to be fixed. Justin Blackman needs to get going. Blaine Gabbert needs to be consistent. The defense needs to start playing like the unit that ranked sixth in the NFL last year. But all that had to be fixed whether they won or lost on Sunday. Sometimes in the NFL, you have to scratch out victories until you get enough fixed that you're not scratching anymore. The Jaguars scratched on Sunday. They were rewarded. If you're a Jaguars fan, a week of roses is a good thing. Enjoy this feeling.
You can send your questions to John anytime. Just go to Jaguars.com. Time for our G-Series Prime Headlines. There are some prime performers coming to town next week. The Jags are going to have their hands full with A.J. Green and Andy Dalton when the Cincinnati Bengals visit, and it should be a special Sunday. Fred Taylor will be inducted into the Pride of the Jaguars. Make sure you're there Sunday, and remember, it is a late kick this Sunday. All right, Cecil. Shorts the third. Shot Khan said he was going to keep that list of the players from his first game. Freddie's got a game coming up this week. You could make that one special, but you made it special for Jackson DeVille last week against the Colts. He had a bet with the Colts mascot that if the Jaguars won, there he is, blue, dressed in Jackson DeVille's garb.
Oh, wow.
And then Freddie T. What do you know about Fred Taylor? I mean, Jeff played with him. Jeff knows all about him. But what was it, when you hear the name Fred Taylor, what do you think?
Well, he was playing when I was a younger buck. But I do know a lot about him. He actually tweeted me the other day, and that kind of made my day after the game. So, but he's definitely a legend in Jacksonville, one of the best backs, to play in Jacksonville or in the NFL of that. But great player and right here, a great guy too.
And you're a big high school fan, and you know his son, Kelvin Taylor.
Yes.
Had a big game coming up Friday night.
Yes.
Against Yulee High School, and they've got a pretty good backup there in Yulee as well.
Yes, I heard a lot about that. I think I might try to go to that game this week.
That one would be worth watching. I wish that game were end up being at Everbank Field. That'd be,
that'd be way nice.
Cool.
That'd be nice.
Mm-hmm.
502 yards for Derrick Henry last week. Well, we want to thank you for checking us out this week on Jaguars All Access. We'll see you next Monday, because we got to play the game Sunday, then the show's Monday. Got it?